Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
There's an event I have to plan, and a task I have to do. I better stress of all the worst possible outcomes, and catastrophize, and prepare myself
for all the things that will not happen.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Friday, June 23rd, 2023. This is The Drop. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Podcast listeners, this is for you.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-o! And last but not least, over yonder, it's the apprentice, Eshwa Kid.
How y'all doing?
What's up, Esh?
What's up, dog?
Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. We love it. Hit the like button, subscribe, comment away in the stream team. Go get your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. T-shirts, hoodies, hats, mugs, and tank tops. That's right. Brand new beach step and tank tops are live. Nodunks.com. Available in three colors. White, pink, black. I say collect them all. All right. On today's drop, we will talk about the Chris Paul trade a little bit more, though we did do an emergency podcast before the draft last night, so go check that out. 20 to 25 minutes on the CP3 trade. We got rapid fire fun because it's the drop podcast, but the 2023 NBA draft, it's complete. No real surprises when it came to the number one pick, but the Hornets selected Brandon Miller at number two over Scoot Henderson, who fell to the Blazers at three. A few lottery teams swapped some picks. Cam Whitmore slid all the way down to number 20. Leonard Miller went in the second round. As soon as Tass logged off playback, he was basically selected. And Monica McNutt talked to every single family member in attendance in that
knew all their
Barclays
names.
Center. She sure
she
did.
She killed it.
We had a blast on playback. Thanks to everybody that joined us live last night. But let's draft our NBA draft winners. And Trey, I have decided that you get the number one pick because you wore a tank top last night on playback. So we're drafting our NBA draft winners. You're on the clock. Who are you going with?
Well, I'm happy I tanked for number one. It really paid off for me and for the biggest winner of the draft, the San Antonio Spurs. Felt like the start of a new era last night. You had Adam Silver grinning ear to ear, hugging Victor Wembanyama as he came up. I heard him referenced as Adam Silver's LeBron James, right? Like, this is the generational prospect coming into the NBA in Adam Silver's tenure. I thought every interview with Vic was really fun to see. When he's sitting on the couch with his brother and his sister, they're all breaking down in tears. They all had great things to say. I thought that was really fun. I thought he gave thoughtful interview answers when they brought him on a little bit later, talking about the differences between strength and bulk and how he needs to get his core up. And just he seems like a really thoughtful guy. He seemed like he was completely ready for the spotlight since he's been in it over in France for the past 5 or 6 years. It just seemed really, really cool. They brought Jeremy Sohan up at the end of his couch interview. Sohan was looking sweet in the white suit with purple hair. It was the coolest moment in Spurs history. And then they cut to the draft watch party, and there was a guy with a tucked-in jersey into the tightest pair of jeans shorts you ever did see. And that's when you're like, all right, we still got a little work to do in San Antonio, sure. But the basis is there.
Yeah, Marty Smith makes it look cool to tuck in a jersey into those shorts, though, with the Wembanyama haircut.
Yeah.
He had Wembanyama in the back of his head.
Yeah, it was. He did have it in the back of his head. That
reminiscent of Lee Ellis with his own photo in the back of his head back in the starters days. We should do a split screen of that. But
yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, Wembanyama going one. Not a surprise, but you're right. Ready for the moment, no doubt, this kid.
And they drafted, the Spurs did, another French player. Yeah. Sidy Sissoko from the G League Ignite, which who knows how he turns out in the NBA, but I'm sure Wembanyama is going to like having basically a national teammate alongside him as he grows up in the NBA. So great start for San Antonio. Funny times.
Look at this guy. He's not overthinking it. Just taking the easy one at number one. I love it.
It's also like easy to skip over the number one pick. I feel like since the draft lottery was weeks and weeks ago, we've known that Wembanyama was going to be the number one pick for years at this point. But he still put on a great performance, I thought, last night in his first real spotlight sort of event.
He did put on a great performance. That performance lasted hours and hours and hours. There was two broadcasts. There was an ABC broadcast and an ESPN broadcast that we didn't realize going in. We started watching an interview with Robin Roberts and Victor Wembanyama, thinking that, oh, where's the clock? Where's the desk? What is happening?
What's going on here?
Okay, so that was a pre-recorded interview. Luckily, our smart watchers on playback alerted us. Hey, there's another broadcast. Oh, yeah, we flipped over just when Adam Silver had walked up to the podium and started talking about, you know, the city and the draft and all that. But I bring that up because Wembanyama did so many interviews. I
mean,
you said it was going to be very difficult to impress people last night because we all know he's the damn number one guy for a reason, because he's an incredible basketball player. It's been known for months, as you said, and you know, in the internet, that's like months ago. Let's move on to the 2, 3, and 4 pick. But the way he was able to go up to desk after desk after desk, we were sitting there watching. It was like hour three almost, where he had another interview with the main desk. And you talked about how in-depth he is at talking about his body and how he treats it differently than regular bodies, as he said. You know,
and he did diss regular bodies. I got a unique body.
But he's incredibly smart and in tune with his body. And they showed us those workouts where he takes off his shoes, a lot of close-ups of the feet. I'm doing this show with no footwear on. I'm just one with the earth. Actually, I got sandals on. But anyway, he's just really in tune. He was so impressive 3-4 hours in, and he was just cool 3 hours in. How can you possibly be comfortable that long of several months? Nothing is going to faze this guy. So that's why they have to be impressed with obviously the basketball skills, but just the person, they got to be really pumped.
Yeah, I thought he was going to jump on playback for a second. I was like, man, this guy's doing the rounds. We might get him here. He's literally doing every interview. We could ask, see if he would jump on. I thought it was cool, the emotion too that poured out of him. You know, sometimes these guys, and fair enough, like they try and play it cool and you know whatever. Especially he's known he's going to be the number one pick forever, but still he had the big tears and his brother had the little tears, the tiny tears, which was awesome. So Wembanyama, I'm glad you started with that because you're right. You can sort of gloss over it as we get into, oh my God, can you believe they took so-and-so that high, or how did that person slide and all that, which I'm sure we'll get to here in a second. But Tass, you're on the clock. Who's your winner from draft night?
Well, I got to go with the Portland Trailblazers because they got the guy that most people thought would go number two in Scoot Henderson. And this guy is ready. I think he is pretty grown up. He's a 19-year-old, decided to forego that high school senior year to play with the G League Ignite, go fly over there, be by himself in more of an NBA environment. Now, does that work out for every single prospect? No, but the Charlotte Hornets decided at number two, we're going with more of a positional fit, I suppose, with Brandon Miller, a bigger guy. Maybe Scoot would somehow not get along or not play as well with LaMelo Ball on the floor, I suppose. But I would just say the Blazers got an incredible guy. And there was so much uncertainty going into the night with the Portland Trail Blazers. Are they going to trade Dame? What the hell are they doing? Well, now they have, regardless of what they do with Dame, they have some semblance of a future here with Scoot and Shaedon Sharpe at the very least in the backcourt, and you got to be pumped about that. And so we'll see what happens with Damian Lillard, but he's just a mature guy you know, speaking of families and all that, we got to talk to his family. We got to see him up close and personal. And the dude is focused. And I would say a great sign is that as a 19-year-old kid, he was asked, what was the one thing that you learned about playing in the G League? And he said moving off the ball. That was just a lot different. That's a good sign. You want to be – he looks like a guy who just needs the rock in his hands at all times to make things happen. But he realizes in that year where I'm sure it helped you know, being around more NBA people that he's got a lot more to his game than just rocking the rim. But he's also freaking really, really good at that. Mm-hmm. So I can't wait to see him in an NBA environment. The Blazers got to be so pumped. And, yeah, it was kind of weird. We were thinking, are they trading Dame? What is happening? They just traded. They got Scoot Henderson now. They have two smaller-ish guards. What's going to happen? But they just did the right thing. They just got a great player. Simple as that. Weird that the Hornets didn't get something for not taking Scoot Henderson. Like, I'm sure I guess the Blazers would have taken Brandon Miller, and that's that, you know, with the swap. But I don't know. It seems strange to me. I don't know if it seems strange to you that Scoot fell to three.
Strange, no. I mean, it was sort of flip-flopping back and forth. Who are the Hornets going to take? Sure. It looked like the longest time it was going to be Brandon Miller. Then suddenly, out of nowhere, it was Scoot. And then, okay, it was right back to Brandon Miller. So maybe nothing changed. And yeah, they're pretty a quiet camp there, the Hornets. Nothing really leaks out. But I'm with you on, like, whether or not Lillard stays or leaves, like, you've got Scoot there if he does. Because this isn't going to go away. I mean, these Damian Lillard potential moves, trade me, you know, whether or not he really requests to be moved now, if this is the direction the Portland Trailblazers are going, this youth movement with Scoot and Sharp, you know, I'm sure the Heat have a package. Maybe the Nets have a package. Maybe there's a team we haven't even thought of that are trying to get in on the Damian Lillard sweepstakes. So that's not going anywhere, but that's okay, because whatever comes back, you're pairing here with hopefully a cornerstone in Scoot Henderson, who does have that, whatever you want to call it, the it factor, no doubt. You guys saw it up close and personal here in Atlanta when you saw him in the G League game, and a lot of people think he would have been the number one pick in many other drafts. So, yeah, it's an obvious winner. Hollinger thinks it's sort of a done deal that Portland will trade Anthony Simons now. Forget the Lillard part of this whole thing. There's three guards here now.
Yeah.
That, you know, are buckets, like all three of them. So he probably gets squeezed. Yeah, and they're all smaller guys, so that's a name, obviously, to watch as well.
Yeah, and obviously Simons has been in a lot of trade rumors since last deadline now, and he's going to continue to be in trade rumors just like Damian Lillard will. I saw Scoot says, for sure, I want to play with Dame. So we'll see if they actually keep him together, because if not, the reset button is right there, trading Dame, and you got the three S's in Scoot, Simons, and Sharp. That's a good start, plus whatever you could maybe get from Lillard. Or you just bring him in and say, hey, Damian, check this guy out. He's pretty good. Let's see how you fit together. Who knows if he's actually interested in that, but feels like we're going to be talking about Damian Lillard. Does he want in? Does he not want in? Until he retires as a Blazer.
Yeah.
Like another 6 years?
Yeah, and the Scoot makes the Scoot acquisition, I was just going to call him the Scoot. The Scoot makes it easier. The Scoot acquisition makes it easier to hit that reset button. And yeah, the Simons move, it makes sense to deal him at this time. There's teams missing out on Bradley Beal. Teams are going to miss out on other guards. Simons has a lot of cost certainty, signed through the 26th season at a reasonable number. So you could see that being a move that they capitalize on and say, oh, we can get even younger. We can get more picks and reset it there. Yeah, the Charlotte Hornets and going with Brandon Miller, I wonder how much of that is just a positional thing. Or do they really think that Brandon Miller is, you know, the Paul George comparisons out there? I threw out the Otto Porter. I know Trey giggled a couple days ago, and I threw out the Otto Porter because it's a dirty comparison. But I mean, is he going to be athletic enough and fast enough at the NBA level? I can't wait to find out.
When and if Damian Lillard says "Get me out of here" is fascinating to me. Does it happen here soon? Or is this like you said, we start next season and then we do it all over again when we get closer to the deadline? I mean, it's not going anywhere.
Not going anywhere.
and like, okay, Scoot, great addition. I'm sure he could play alongside Damian Lillard. They'd be fun, but nobody is saying the Blazers are like, oh my God, championship contender here. Like, they could still be fighting to get into a playoffs with the currently constructed squad. Totally. Even that, bringing back Grant on his contract.
Yeah.
You know, Nurk is their center. That's a huge question mark. So yeah, it's just, we're just going to be waiting this out until he's ultimately traded. I think, like, I guess we could see him be a Reggie Miller and stay with the franchise forever. I don't know. I think we saw some people reporting yesterday that he's actually maybe now gone to the front office and said, okay, I'm open to the idea. Whether you believe, who knows?
Nobody wants to be the bad guy.
Nobody wants to be the bad guy.
Damian Lillard doesn't want to say, trade me, after I've been talking about 10 toes on the ground for the past 5 seasons. And Joe Cronin doesn't want to say, I'm the guy that traded Damian Lillard. Just trade him. If you think that's the best move, Lillard doesn't have a no-trade clause. They're treating it like he does because he's a legend of the franchise.
Right.
Joe Cronin could trade him at any time to any team he wants to. But he's being a nice guy about it.
Let's keep it moving here. My winner from last night, the Thompson Twins. History made when Commissioner Adam Silver announced brothers Amen and Usser Thompson back-to-back draft picks. Rockets taking Amen number 4 overall, which we thought, and the Detroit Pistons drafted Usser there at number 5. So the first brothers to be drafted in the top 5 of the same draft. That is wild. Identical bros going 4-5. We were hoping for it the other day. We're like, the team after the team that drafts probably Amen has to take Usser. The Pistons listened.
They did it.
And they were like, you know what? We need sort of like an athletic wing there to go with Cade, to go with Ivy. So they've got it here. Now, both these guys, they can't shoot. They're super athletic, and they'll need to add a jumper, a three, you know, some sort of shot to their arsenal, and maybe they will. But it is pretty cool that we got twins here going 4-5. We had Marcus and Markieff Morris going number 13 and 14 in the 2011 draft, but otherwise, the Thompsons join Lonzo and LaMelo Ball as the only brothers to go top 5 in the draft, in the modern era at least. Those guys obviously in separate drafts. Thompson twins. Crazy.
Yeah, that's cool. The Usser at number 5 was the big shock because it definitely felt like Amen was going at number 4, but the Pistons got a lot of guards, they got a lot of centers, and then they have Bojan Bogdanović as their wing, basically. So something needed to be done, and Usser apparently is a pretty decent passer. Maybe a shot's a little further along than Amen as well, but this feels like a team that's going to be incredible to watch in transition.
Yeah.
You got Ivy running one wing, you got Thompson running the other wing, Cade bringing the ball up the middle. Maybe he finds one of those guys, or maybe he just goes off the glass to Durin trailing. So they'll be a fun team to watch in the future. Loving the Pictons.
Yeah.
You don't see Silver stumble like that too often.
No. He says so many words over the course of hours. He picked in the wrong time to screw up, I guess. He screwed up once.
And
he looked great. Yeah. We said he looked great.
Good in his blue suit.
Sharp blue suit.
Well, speaking of twins, later in the night, Chris Murray selected 23rd overall by the Blazers. So, you know, he an identical twin of Keegan Murray, the number 4 pick in last year's draft. So,
oh, yeah. Are you gonna
twins are in, man.
Are you going to give us this info? Because we discussed yesterday whether or not identical twins have ever been drafted in separate drafts.
That's a surpriser.
Right?
Yeah, right.
It has to be. It has to be the first time ever, because we said the Morrises, the Lopezes. Collinses were both in the 01 draft.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
What about the Van Arsdale twins?
Yeah.
Dick and Tom.
First ever draft.
It's the first time they get separated is
I
draft
assume
night.
Horace yeah, and
Collins
Harvey got drafted in the same
Who?
Draft. Harvey and Horace.
Oh, the Grants.
The Grants.
That's a good one. Yeah, we got to double check on that.
It is wild. Yeah, Chris coming in here on the Blazers. Nice little pickup there at 23. Obviously an older guy. In the field. Who you got?
Harvey and Horace appear to be in different drafts.
Oh, there we go. There we go.
Very nice.
We
87,
did it.
87 for Horace and 88 for Harvey. Exactly the same as Keegan and Chris.
Wow.
Horace drafted earlier, better player.
Yeah, so that means
Chris drafted earlier, likely the better player.
Keegan,
like I said.
it's hard to make. I mean, Amen and Usser. I could easily mix those guys up.
Are Cody and Caleb identical twins? Because I think they say...
I mean, it looks like it.
I know, but I think they say they're not. That they're
twins,
just fraternal.
Man, like
I know, man. Anyway, so the Thompson twins and their family, that's a huge night. Them going 4-5. Two teams that they're going to get an opportunity. They're going to get some minutes to show their games and show that athleticism. So that's sort of fun there in Houston and Detroit.
Yeah, Trey got me excited for the Detroit Pistons and that up-and-down style. I said stupidly that they would... should think about trading that 5 pick just because they have so many freaking guys on that roster, so many young guys. Mm-hmm. But They've got some young guys that have been missed, or that have missed, or they've missed on those picks. So here we go. It's great for them. It's great for the overtime elite to get those two guys drafted in the top five. As Trey said, the league was sort of made for them because nobody else was drafted from the overtime elite. But four of the top five picks, non-college picks in this draft. International, the G League, and then a couple overtime elites to go along with Brandon Miller from Alabama. So, yeah, for the supplemental leagues, a good night.
Round two here. Who you got, Trey?
I'm going to give a winner to the Dallas Mavericks-Oklahoma City Thunder trade.
Okay.
I like what happened for both sides. The Mavs traded Davis Bertans to OKC into their cap space. OKC moves up two spots from number 12 to draft Cason Wallace at number 10. Loving the guard rotation that they're building in OKC with Shea, Giddey, and now Cason Wallace, maybe like a long-term backup point guard just because those two are the primary ball handlers, but with the size that Shea has, the size that Giddey has, they could likely go all three of them together. Mm-hmm. He gave a great interview. You can't teach dog. It's just got to be in you. Love to hear that. We had a lot of x-rays coming through in the stream team on playback after that. And I think what the Mavs did was pretty solid business as well. They traded down from 10 to 12. They got off the Bertans contract, which was huge. And they still got Derek Lively at number 12, who was who they were mocked to get at number 10. So got a little salary cap relief as well, trading with the Sacramento Kings later. The Kings traded Rashawn Holmes and the number 24 pick in this year's draft ended up being Omax Prosper.
Canadian!
Into Dallas's trade exception that they created with the Bertans trade. So now Dallas is hoping that Derek Lively turns into Tyson Chandler. You heard him basically saying that on the draft. They also, I sure want Omax to become Dorian Finney-Smith, a wing who develops a three-point shot, becomes valuable to the team. They're going for role guys, definitely, but they're cheap role guys. We'll see if Holmes is able to do anything. He fell out of the rotation for the Kings last year, but at least he's NBA player, a full-on veteran here, so he'll get a little run. But most important, the Mavericks now have their full mid-level exception. They got like $7 million extra to play with last night, so that's pretty huge. Kings did a good job, too, in that trade. They got $36 million in cap space if they let Harrison Barnes walk, which puts him in play for a Kuzma, Brooke Lopez, Draymond Green.
Grant Williams, maybe?
Grant Williams. Yeah, exactly. So I thought pretty smooth moves from OKC, from Dallas, and from Sacramento, just making things happen, getting the players they wanted and making moves that make sense financially as well.
Yeah. Brian Windhorst meme, what are the Kings doing? They're up to something. And shout out to Windhorst, who was on the third broadcast, talking for 4 hours as we clicked around. So the Kings got to be up to something, giving away Rashawn Holmes, who is going to suit the Dallas Mavericks style a lot more. Instead of the Domantas Sabonis, all the dribble handoffs, it's a pick-and-roll style in Dallas, so Rashawn Holmes will suit that more. We'll see. If he's more of like a Willie Cauley-Stein, as we said this week, that hasn't played or just didn't end up working out. But I like what the Mavericks did completely. They got the guy that they wanted in Derek Lively and Olivia Maxence Prosper from Canada, the French-Canadian, the Haitian sensation. Lots. Omax is a great nickname, period. I just think that that's great. But I think they are. If you read about them, they're high-character guys. Lively was talking a great game coming into this draft to be Tyson Chandler, to be just a roller. Just, I'm not going to shoot. Kyrie and Luka Doncic, you do your things. And so it worked out. I know on the stream yesterday, people mocking the Mavs. Oh, you tanked to give up your number 10 pick to go down to 12, but they got who they wanted. They got off that Bertans contract. Great night. Great night for them.
You can see the Mavericks production team having some fun there with the two guys, the two rooks that they got, Lively, Prosper. There's going to be some sort of Star Trek Vulcan, you know, something off of Live Long and Prosper, like Lively Long and Prosper, something there. I can see the video now. It'll go viral. I can't wait to like it. So good stuff there from the Mavs. Mm-hmm. And a good trade, you're right, from really all three teams when you lump in the Kings. I like what they're doing, and we'll see what they use that cap space on. Tass, who you got for another winner?
I'm going to the Washington Wizards. Before the draft, let's talk a little trade. The Beal trade was finalized, and they got a little bit back, a little more back than what we all expected. The Suns traded everything they could to Washington for Bradley Beal in the end. Chris Paul and Landry Shamet, we knew that. but the pick swaps were up. Four pick swaps, 24, 26, 28, and 30. So if the Suns bottom out a few years from now, not going to be in 24 or 26. That's very, very unlikely. But let's say in 28 or 30, they're in the lottery. They get lucky with the lottery. Then the Wizards can say, okay, we shall take that pick. So it looks a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And they got 6 second round draft picks. Hey, listen, Beal screwed the Wiz. There's no doubt. There was better offers out there. They couldn't take them because he wanted to go to Phoenix. But in the end, it's a better package than we expected. And they turned Chris Paul into Jordan Poole and a first-round pick. So there's a first-round pick. There's swaps. And we'll get into that trade a little bit later. But let's get to the draft. The Wizards, their draft conductors are different now. I think we can look at them a little differently. We can look at them as the OKC sort of management, because those guys, Michael Winger and Dawkins, they're Thunder guys. And they could have played it safe. They could have got, like, Taylor Hendricks, who's going to be awesome, that went to the Jazz. But they swung for the fences. They got Bilal Coulibaly, Wembanyama's teammate, and they traded up from 8 to 7 to go get him. He's not even 19. He's definitely raw, but he grew a lot last year in France. He wasn't Wembanyama's full-time teammate at the beginning of the year, but by the end of the year, he was starting in playoff games. He was one of those ball handler earlier in his life, but then he sprouted. Now he's more of a wing. He was asked, are you still growing? He said, I have no doubt that I am still growing. So that's a good sign, I guess. He's they're looking towards the future. High ceiling, low floor with this guy. They could have gotten a lot more, you know, a lot more safe. That's a Thunder thing to do.
Yeah, they're in the position with the way they're going with their franchise to take a wild chance on this guy who could suddenly be one of the best rookies from this class, or he could be gone in 3 years, 4 years. We never hear from him again. I mean, both are in play because he's so, so raw and so young. But they are in a, but they feel at least they're in a position that they can do this. Trey, you're nodding away. You think this is, at least for a franchise like Washington right now, why not take a stab at a guy like him?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The perfect team to take a swing on a mystery man. It's like, you don't know who's going to be on the team the next time they're a competitive team. There's a lot of salary cap space, so who cares if we're getting them at 7 instead of getting them at 15? The couple of million dollars difference there on the rookie scale contracts does not matter to Washington. So just throw him out there, see what he can do, and maybe you've hit on the next Giannis. Maybe not, you know, most likely not, but
right,
but at least it's worth giving it a shot.
Yeah, in the second round, they drafted a Serbian that's got a similar name to a current NBA player. And since we have a Jokic-Jovic, that worked out pretty well. Let's mention Vukcevic. That's hard to say. Tristan Vukcevic, a 7-footer out of Partizan. And here's a little report by Ian Miller from the Draft Combine. He said, Vukcevic showed off a skill level few other big men of the non-Wembanyama category can offer, hitting spot threes, attacking closeouts, and making jumpers off the dribble. So you never know. OKC has got a stasher here. He's probably not coming over, but he looks like he's talented. So, yeah, the Wizards, they're playing Poole. They're playing Tyus Jones. It's going to be a weird year there, but they're looking towards the future, and it looks a little bit better than the initial Beal trade made it seem like.
Another winner for me, the Utah Jazz. They had 3 picks in the first round last night, and I thought they prioritized potential because they selected 3 college freshmen. So they're not trying to, like, speed up, you know, their what's the word I'm looking for? Like, timeline in terms of, like, winning right now. Like, they should get better than they were last year, and they surprised a lot of us last year. But they took 3 college freshmen. UCF forward Taylor Hendricks at number 9. He fell in a lot of people's eyes, 2-9. He had a meteoric rise up the draft boards. Incredible athleticism, 3-point shooting, defensive versatility, like, you can get pretty excited about him alongside Walker Kessler there as their bigs and their defensive acumen. They also took Baylor combo guard Keontae George at number 16. And then at 28, they went for a high-scoring Ohio State wing, Bryce Sensabaugh, who you really were high on, Trey, and he goes to 28. So I heard general manager Justin Zanuck of the Jazz, he said, we got 2 of the guys that we had in our top 10 players that we were frankly debating which one to take at 9. He's talking about Hendricks and George. And we ended up getting both of them. And that 28, we got a player that we had that we thought was going to go in the top 20. So I saw some people thinking they didn't have a good draft. I saw a grade D-plus for the Jazz. I don't see it. I think I like all three of these. Again, even if one of these guys hits, maybe you're hoping two, will all three turn into like all NBA players? Probably not, but that's like what they can afford to do with three picks in the first round. And I like all three. I think, why not one of these guys really popping off? It'll probably be Hendricks more than the others, but maybe George or Bryce are those like explosive scorers. And they have two of them, so maybe one of them turns into a star. So I liked what they did. Good stuff from the Jazz, in my opinion.
I like all the guys they got. My only quibble would be getting Keyonte George because they already have Colin Sexton and Jordan Clarkson. I guess Sexton's on a bigger deal for sure, but it's basically three of the exact same player. But I guess the Jazz just have a type. If you're a guard, you got to have sick handles and shoot the ball all the time. And if you're a big, you better be very tall and skinny, just like Taylor Hendricks is, just like Walker Kessler is, just like Lauri Markkanen is. They're going to have a front line. They can shoot threes. We saw Walker Kessler lace one from the corner right after coming back from winning the team shooting competition at All-Star Weekend. I think he made one on the season, but I like to imagine it's there. But their front court of the future looks like they've got it, and they're still trying to figure out who's going to be the perimeter guys. So yeah, maybe George has a chance. Maybe Sensabaugh's a big scorer off the bench, something like that. The Jazz had a great season last year, but they're still in building mode, so take three first-rounders and hope that two of them are good.
Yeah, and to speak to the backcourt that they currently have, we heard rumors that they were actively trying to move Colin Sexton, so that could still happen. Obviously, he could be traded. And Jordan Clarkson, we're waiting to find out whether he's going to opt in or opt out of his player option for only $14 million next year, so maybe he does with this free agency class and gets a bigger paycheck. So maybe he's not even with Utah Jazz. So there could be opening there in the guard positions for a guy like George or, you know, maybe even Bryce. So I think it'll work out for them. I'll go Utah Jazz. Good stuff. No D plus from me. At least a B.
Hendricks gets you a freaking great grade, period.
Yeah.
He's going to be awesome. You mentioned the live long and prosper possibilities there. There's possibilities here with Keyonte George as well. Some wine that you'll be sipping in Italy, I'm sure. A Keyonte. So there you go. I trust,
bars don't
I trust
stay
in the
open
Jazz.
Long though in Utah or late
or in Utah. Yeah, I thought you were gonna say Italy, but
oh Jesus, we're drinking all night, Keyonte. I guess one more round. Why not? Winners. Who you got?
Oh, I got the Indiana Pacers as a winner. I thought they did good business last night. They were making smart moves. They traded down from the seventh spot to eighth, so you know they picked Koulibaly for the Wizards. Moved down to number eight. They got Jairus Walker, who'd been mocked to them at number seven, but got 2 second rounders just for the courtesy of letting the Wizards hop up. There is a curse on the eighth pick, as the Ringer detailed this week, so maybe not the smartest move, but I liked what I saw from Jairus Walker in his interviews. I think he was the only guy who didn't have family because he didn't want to let down any of his three sisters. Raised by three older sisters, could not pick two of his favorites. So I'm just doing it all by myself. Great vibes guy, though, sitting there on the couch. We did get the first moment from the Pacers, though, when they drafted Belmont Ben Shepherd later in the round.
That's
we're
true.
Like, okay, who's this guy? Apparently he shot 40% from three, so sign him up in Indiana because they're going to need shooters around Halliburton and Mathurin, and then Walker seems to be a decent passer as well. They also got a first-round pick from the Denver Nuggets earlier in the transaction period for letting Denver hop up to 29, and they took Mojave King late in the second round. Who knows if he turns into anything, maybe just a two-way guy, but a little potential there. So I thought the Pacers did a pretty solid job getting the main guy they wanted and a few other little things here and there.
I was very confused why they wouldn't let Jairus Walker's three sisters
sit on the couch. There's only room for three people on the couch, they were trying to tell us. You couldn't put four.
You cannot do it.
Now, I would have put a sister like on the edge of the couch.
Sit on the armrest.
Exactly.
I don't get it.
Even stand behind. Crouch down.
They're barely talking to the second family member anyway. So
it's true. We had a lot of dads leaning in last night. Huh? What are you saying, Monica? It was great.
Oh, yeah. Jairus Walker seems like a great dude. Great hugger. Best hugger in the draft. That was him, right?
Well, yeah. Full. He was a good hugger, but Leonard Miller, did you see the hug he had with Mark Tatum?
Oh, my God. Well,
I think he's still hugging
else.
Him. Oh, my God. That was awesome.
He was a great hugger.
But Walker was a good hugger. And I loved Walker on the Pacers. Obviously, there's a position there for him. And, yeah, he gives them you know, they need a big here. They need someone that can play a little defense on that squad. So I love that selection there. And yeah, doing that slick little move with the Wizards. A little weird from Washington, if I'm being honest, but okay.
You they must really have gave him some serious smoke screens. So yeah. We love this guy.
We're taking
him. Come on. He's so cool.
Guess so.
The Wizards have 1,000 second round picks and they just probably don't want to use them all.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, well, whatever, we'll pay up.
Yeah. Who do you got for your final winner here?
Well, the Pacers made a trade with the Nuggets, as you said. The Nuggets wanted to get in, got that 29th pick. Strother from Gonzaga, Julian Strother, who is another 40% guy from three. You can picture him playing around Jokic. There's no doubt. Mm-hmm. And Gonzaga produces NBA-ready players. We talk about guys like Christian Brown. All they do is win, win, win. Gonzaga is a team that always gets there, always produces guys. And this guy could fit the bill with the Nuggets. He is a shooter off movement, off catch and shoots. He's got a floater, actually. He feels kind of NBA ready, and he's played in a lot of big games. He played in two NCAA tournament games at Ball Arena this past year, so he's ready to step in there.
I'm familiar with the sight lines.
Sure, yeah. Shout out to my DNVR guys who notified me of some of that. He also had 7 games last year in double-digit rebounds. That feels like a Nuggets-type quality right there. You saw what guys did in the postseason. He had a 40-point game last year. So Strother has, at 6'7", 40% from three. They're looking at guys who are maybe don't have the highest ceiling, but they just know who they are. And a little bit older, he's a junior, excuse me, and I actually the best thing I found about him was that after he got drafted, Nuggets had a little draft party, he put on the NBA champions hat already, which is kind of cool, the huge Nuggets hat. So he's into the culture. And then they made a couple other picks. Jalen Pickett from Penn State is like a 5-year senior. Again, older guys.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing here.
Because they'll need those guys to fill out the roster.
Yeah.
Like we've talked about, with all their money to their superstars, you're going to need these hits. Like late in the first round, early second round picks are like even more valuable that you get one or two of them right, because you're going to need them on the roster at a controlled, cheap cost.
Yeah.
In theory.
And we consider they're the NBA champs, so we think they've had it all, but they weren't all that deep. I mean, they played 7.5 guys. Yeah. They weren't really comfortable playing Reggie Jackson. And so Jalen Pickett, here, listen to these comps. You don't hear these comps very often.
Okay.
Andre Miller, Mark Jackson, the butt of Mark Jackson, Kyle Lowry's butt. It's just a weird. Actually, I think the DNVR guys told me that I think they call him, his nickname is like booty game or booty butt. He hates it though.
Oh, okay.
So it's going to be gone in the NBA. But anyways, it has booty in the name.
It's got several booty.
Yeah, it's all
themed
booty
nicknames in yeah comparison.
No, it's just one, but I forget what it was. It starts with booty. But it's, you know, when you say it one way, it means you're crap. That guy's booty. Or, you know, he's got a big booty. I guess that's how he plays. He's 6'4", and so who knows?
He's stout.
He's All-American, Big Ten guy. Again, guys who are polished but maybe don't have the highest ceiling. Right. And then they took Hunter Tyson, who I'm not even going to go into. But 3 picks. Yeah, taking a flyer and hoping they have guys to work around Nikola Jokic, really.
All right, my final winner, just quickly a little love to the Heat, getting obviously the most Heat culture guy there is. They took Jaime Jaquez Jr. there at the 18th selection. Everybody knew that was going to happen. Everybody's like, yeah, he's perfect for them. You see the highlights for this guy, it's like Jimmy Butler 2.0 in his UCLA highlights. So they just didn't overthink it. They're like, okay, we'll take him. Great. I love Leonard Miller, like I said, hugging Mark Tatum. Hated to see him slide all the way to the second round. Wasn't a fan of that. Steal of the draft. The Wolves, actually. I guess the Spurs drafted for the Wolves, so he's on Minnesota, Leonard Miller is. But the real winner of the 2023 draft, dick jokes. So many dick jokes last night because the Raptors took, at number 13, Grady Dick. And, man, I love this kid. This kid is an absolute weirdo, and I am all for it. He is a goofball, and he leans into it. Now, the Raptors desperately needed to address outside shooting. I mean, they are bad at it. And Grady Dick, by all accounts, is maybe the best in the draft when it comes to the three ball. He shot 40% on nearly 6 attempts per game. finished second in the Big 12 with 83 made threes. So the Kansas wing is on Toronto. He's wearing the most insane suit. I know we have a photo. I'm sure you've seen it by now. This red sequined jacket and sort of, you know,
and,
shirt or
turtleneck. Or
yeah,
something.
You know, we showed this to Nora live on playback, and she was like, is that a turtleneck too? That's got to be itchy. But just owning it, I guess.
Because Dorothy wore red slippers in The Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
And he's from Kansas. I love how it's like four steps away. Like, it doesn't make
sense. It makes no sense. He just saw this jacket. He's like, wow, that'd be cool to wear. That's wild.
Dorothy style.
So Eric Kareen had some intel on the jacket. Bobby Webster, Raptors GM, he said that Grady Dick showed the Raptors staff the two suits he was considering when they met earlier in the month.
What?
There is no immediate word on what the other suit is or what color it is or what the hell it's made of. But did Bobby Webster say, no, you should wear that red one? First off, big fan of Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz. And
I love
secondly,
that movie.
We might be taking you if you're there at 13. But, you know, we're seeing the TikToks of this guy, and any interview is hilarious. Like, he is obviously a confident young man to pull off that and lean into the silliness of it all, and he's really comfortable with who he is. And, you know, they need shooting, so he'll probably get an opportunity here. He's limited defensively, but he's joining the right squad if they run all this back that you can sort of hide him with all the other great defenders on the Raps. Let's see if he can hit some shots. We're going to hear Matt Devlin yelling, Dick from Regina, going nuts and all, and Dick from the Falls. Like it's going to be so much fun.
From the Falls.
I'm still laughing at every photo I see of him and that he's on our team, the Toronto Raptors, and that we can just, you know, be dickheads about it. We can just...
That's what his fans are going to be called.
I know.
It would have been a good pick for the Raptors if his name was Rick Grady and he was just the best shooter in the draft.
Sure.
Like, cool, we got a 40% three-point shooter, exactly what we need. But the fact that his name is Grady Dick and he embraces it and he seems to be getting weirder with every picture and every TikTok that comes out, on top of the world.
Yeah, like a lot of people say he looked like a character from Blades of Glory. The Will Ferrell movie, The Righteous Gemstones, a lot of comparisons. There's a great side-by-side photo of him basically wearing Bobby Heenan's jacket from the WWF days. And he's just a silly-looking dude. So can't wait to see him in Toronto. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe the Raptors didn't think he would slide all the way to 13th. We thought he would go higher. People were surprised that the Magic didn't take him at 11.
Yep.
When they went with Jet Howard instead. But here we go.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
We the Dick.
Yeah, it's such a short word. You literally can insert it anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the only thing I could think of that would be funnier is a player named Fart. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
And that's maybe not as good.
No, it's not as good.
I'm just saying, like, I always laugh at any sort of fart joke, but
yeah.
Dick right there.
Yeah, because it's a little more crude, so it's a little funnier, but it's his name, so you get away with it.
Yeah.
Right? Grady Dick. We were having a good time.
See, he's still laughing.
Funny last name, though. Like a hot draft prospect, Carl Fart. Supposed to go in the top 20.
Carl Fart.
Man.
Okay. Anyway, are you pumped about having Dick
absolutely.
On your team?
Well, yes, we need Dicks on our team for sure. And, yesterday we were having a fun time watching on playback. You know, we're an hour plus in, and then we exploded because of this Dick. Just the jokes coming. Yeah, Matt Devlin loves saying cities in Canada. This guy hits threes, and then combining them. This guy from this city.
Yeah.
So Dick from Regina, which is an actual city. That was a great joke on playback. It came out. There's going to be so many. Moose Jaw. There's a lot of stuff.
I'm worried though about Jack Armstrong on the broadcast. Like, is he going to be able to keep it together?
is he going to keep his job?
Will
Jack get fired? That's
the
question. Awesome stuff. And he can play. And
like you can picture Grady Dick forcing a shot too early in the shot clock, premature ejaculation from Dick.
No.
Is that too much? That may be too much.
That's a preseason only.
Preseason only.
Yeah, push the envelope a little.
I'm excited to see what Devlin and Jack Armstrong are cooking up with Dick lines for Grady Dick when he's bombing away for the Raptors. But yeah, good night for Dick jokes. It was a lot of fun, especially on playback. I was losing it there. I was doubled over. I mean, just, yeah, the name alone, great. And then you pair it with this guy wearing a red sequin jacket and shades and looking goofy as hell. It's chef's kiss. All right, those are our winners. Let's take a break. You tell us what we missed. There's a lot of meat left on the bone. Who are your winners from the NBA draft? When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about that Chris Paul trade and some other surprises from the draft. Don't go anywhere.
I got to get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute, but man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch! We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NoDunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/NoDunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, still here in the Classic Factory, still giggling about Grady Dick jokes that people are sharing here in the stream team. Just final question about the draft. Was there anything else that surprised you from last night in terms of where a player went, too high, too low, who didn't get drafted, even the broadcast itself? What do you got, TK?
You want a too high or a too low?
Give me a too low.
Okay, the big question for the middle 15 picks of the first round was basically Cam Whitmore falling. He was, I think, number 3 on John Hollinger's big board at one point in time. Was definitely mocked in the top 5 on a lot of drafts. I know he's a big-time recruit, but he slid all the way to number 20, where the Houston Rockets finally picked him up. And they said they've been eyeballing him at number 4 early in the draft process, so they have to be very happy to get Amen Thompson at number 4 and another super athlete in Cam Whitmore at number 20. That's basically all they have in Houston right now is all athletes and Şengün, which is a funny mix.
Right.
But everybody was asking, why is he drafting? Why is he drafting? Part of it apparently was that his interviews weren't great. Some teams had red flagged him for an injury concern. And as John Hollinger mentions in his recap of the draft, once he got past like the first 5 or 6 teams, those teams in the middle hadn't scouted him because everybody thought he was going early.
Right.
So he kind of just keeps falling because nobody knows what's going on until finally the Rockets show up again. They're like, oh, we have done our research. We're more than comfortable taking him here at number 20. So I think good for them to get two guys who could potentially be in the top 5 of this draft when we look back on it in a few seasons, getting him at 4 and at 20. But it was weird watching it happen just because he was a big-time recruit and a known player who had been high on draft boards for quite some time.
Yeah. Anything to add to that?
Yeah, surprising. Woj threw out the he didn't have great interviews during the pre-draft process, which I guess could have been part of it, but he was upset. He appeared sad, but the Rockets got to be ridiculously happy.
Yeah.
Totally. Leonard Miller sliding as well. He wasn't projected to go anywhere close to the top 10, really, but his highest potential pick was, you know, in the low lottery, but to see him go all the way to 33, where the Timberwolves made a trade to go get him, hey, the Timberwolves, you're smart. What are they doing in their front court for the future? I mean, Leonard Miller isn't necessarily a guy who's going to step in anytime soon, but they've got Gobert, they've got Towns under contract. Naz Reid is a free agent. He was in their camps as they were working out players. I said that was tampering. I mean, you've got the front office right there talking to Naz Reid, I'm sure. But what are they doing in the future? Does that mean anything? Does it mean anything, or did they just draft a guy who had the longest hug of the night with Mark Tatum there, who, yeah, has got a lot of talent. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Who was your too high?
Jet Howard. That was the big question mark. Him already? Yeah. Going number 11 to the Orlando Magic. They took Anthony Black earlier in the night at number 6, which, you know, a little strange because we were talking about it seems like the Magic will be wanting to add shooting with one of their draft picks, which is why they went for Jet Howard at 11. Everybody thought that would be the Grady Dick pick right there because he was known as the best shooter coming into the draft. I guess maybe you're thinking a little more size with Jet Howard. He's at least a bigger, bulkier guy compared to Dick, but that one seemed like a reach to me. But when you've got two, I guess the second one you're just like, we're taking the guy we like. Doesn't really matter where it is, but feels like they could have traded down, maybe gotten another asset or something there. So that was a confusing one.
Yeah, and they've got decisions now with their backcourt here, too. Like, obviously, selecting Black, and you've got Cole Anthony, you've got Fultz, you've got Suggs. There's a lot of similarities across the board there with some of these guys. So I wonder if they move one of them, possibly like a Cole Anthony or something like that, and get something in return. But yeah, Black and Jet Howard for the Magic. In a lot of the recaps I've seen, you know, not the highest grades for that combo at 6 and 11, especially like the Jet Howard there at 11. A lot of people thought that was a little too high, but, you know, he's got the pedigree. Juwan Howard is his dad, his pops, and we've seen more and more of that, don't we? Players that were sons of former NBA stars in Juwan Howard's case. Do you have a surprise from last night that you want to touch on, Tassie?
I mean, other than Leonard Miller, I thought Anthony Black's hair would be the sort of the highlight. A guy's just letting their hair down. There's a lot of hair. Mm. And then, you know, I was happy with that. And then
tough to put those hats on.
Yeah, for sure. It just, there's sort of... What was also weird was the snapback hats that the guys were adjusting. Why not set it to the biggest setting and then you could put it on as easily as possible? But they had to adjust. It looked like they came fresh out the box and they were just like... at the regular setting. Every guy was adjusting.
Yeah, I feel like leave it open. Leave it open, let it go, and then you can custom fit it into your own head.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a good call. Anyways, the guys were letting their hair down, which was really nice, but then Grady Dick came and stole the show in terms of the giggles and the looks. And I guess the surprise was Grady Dick not wearing red slippers.
Like, right. That'd be a little too on the nose.
Oh, okay.
That's where he draws the line.
Was he wearing, what shoes were he wearing? I guess we didn't see a lot of shoes.
He must have been wearing Christian Louboutins because I saw him showing his red bottoms.
Yes, he did say that. Yeah, he did say that.
Oh, so there was some red.
Yes, I guess there was.
I looked into other movies that took place in Kansas, trying to figure out what this other suit could be. A lot of people say Smallville is in Kansas ever since the 1986 reboot. So maybe he had like a Superman sort of deal. They're like, I don't know, Grady. Wear the sparkly red.
Okay, yeah. As far as surprises are concerned, the draft was fairly uneventful, right? It was not crazy, whoa, picks. Like, really, in the top 10... Bilal Coulibaly going 7 was like not even that crazy because he was sort of rising up draft boards over the last couple of weeks. Maybe it was a tiny bit of shock that the Wizards were taking him with the 7th pick that the Pacers had, and there was that little swap. The rights there were changed. But yeah, otherwise, the biggest names traded last night were Davis Bertans and Rashawn Holmes. You know, not blockbuster names that we thought maybe was going to happen, especially with the Chris Paul trade earlier in the day. So that was a bummer. What'd you think of the broadcast? I know a lot of people have opinions on it. We were a little confused. We were watching ABC to begin with. We were like, what's going on here? It was not feeling like a draft. And then people were like, yeah, jump over to ESPN. They're actually doing your more like basic, the pick is in and here's like sort of the countdown sort of, and we'll talk about the players. So we went to ESPN. We watched a lot of that one. But then we would flip back to ABC and it would be like 5 picks behind. what was going on. That was really weird. Like, they were trying to do more of a, like, a show.
Yes.
On ABC. I don't know if that's the way to go, but any opinions from you guys on either of the broadcasts, the telecasts?
We didn't get the real full feel of the ABC broadcast. Have they done that before? I mean, I guess they wanted to put something on network television to get more eyeballs, but I don't remember an ABC broadcast where, it was a lot of Stephen A. Smith and Fat Joe coming on for a while. What's up? What's going on with that? The fact that they're five picks behind was really strange. I guess that was part of the thinking with Woj not tipping his picks at all this year. Like, we want everybody on the watching the television, but Shams took care of that business. He did some tipping. Not every pick. He didn't know Grady Dick was coming. Nobody did. But I guess, it was more of a human interest story.
Yeah, it felt like an ABC.
Yeah, and more basketball-y on ESPN, which I thought they were awesome, actually.
You liked the ESPN?
Yeah, I thought they were really good. They were on the note. They were on point. They're just really solid.
I could have turned the dials a little bit more towards basketball on ESPN. I did like all of the family interviews, but I would have liked to see more highlights and more big boards. Just a little bit more.
Mm. Yeah, that's fair. It was also, they had a weird like pattern going where the guy was drafted. We saw him stand up, shake hands with like 20 people. There was almost too many people at their tables.
That was going to be there my were. Next thing. The tables were too long.
I know. Go back these type of tables.
It looked like a banquet. And with instead of the round tables where it looks like a fancy award show, and then the fact that you got these long tables, we're talking 20 people.
Yeah, they were a lot for each.
Rather than like 10. So that's a lot of hugs.
Yeah, so they would show, they would basically stick with the player, dapping up everybody. That's fine, okay. I mean, it gets a little boring after a while, after like the eighth sort of bro hug, right, with your uncle. But then suddenly we wouldn't see them a lot talking to Silver or taking the photo. Sometimes we would, but it felt like it would immediately then get us to Monica McNutt talking with the family. And it was like, that's how it was, just like, it was like announced, see them with the fam, and then suddenly we were talking to them and the fam on the couch, which I did like a lot of time. I thought Monica did a great job nailing all the names, you know, getting some fun reactions from, moms and dads and siblings and stuff like that. But yeah, it did feel like not crazy basketball-y. Like, that to me almost should have been more the ABC a little bit, and ESPN could have leaned a little bit more into the highlights, to the breakdowns, the comps. Like, it felt like there wasn't a lot of that.
You're right, not a lot of comps.
Yeah.
Except for Jordan Hawkins. He got some good ones. Rip Hamilton and Ray Allen.
He got a Ray
Allen,
maybe
he got the best comps outside of Wembanyama, who got comped to, two Hall of Fame terms, big time.
I did like the family interviews, though. Quite often, in the past, you would see a stand-up. Whoever it was, the interviewer standing up with a player, you get a couple questions. The player is nervous. I think the seat kind of calmed them down a little bit. You get your butt down. But also just the family members who are, less stressed, gave some really good answers.
Yeah.
So that part was good.
You know the issue, though? It's like you have to do it for everybody, right?
I don't know.
That would be great if you did
it. Lottery.
Right. I think it just becomes a little monotonous. It becomes, what else are they going to really say? Everybody's excited that my kid's a great kid. He's really going to make a difference, Like, it's the same thing over and over again. How can it not be? So that's the only part for us sickos that are sitting there watching, 3 or 4 hours of it. It's like, maybe after the lottery, we could do without it. Or, you know what? Oh, Grady Dick, he looks like a character. Let's talk to him. Pick and choose.
Pre-draft interviews with the parents to see if they're going to be able to have on the couch.
It's like a combine. We need a combine for their interview skills.
Dad's got great answers, but Mom seems a little nervous when the spotlight's on.
That's true.
I'm looking at Grady Dick's face right now. This is great. Just brighten my day.
Still making you giggle. Anything else? Any other notes?
Yeah, the Bulls did something. They traded 2 second rounders to get into the second round, and they drafted a guy who David Aldridge reported that a college coach said, "I'm shocked he stayed in the draft." Yeah. Not very excited for Julian Phillips. The Bulls drafted Dalen Terry, a super young and athletic wing last year who has a questionable jump shot, maybe passing skills and some defense. This is the exact same guy. And Dalen Terry played like 200 minutes last year. They couldn't find minutes for him.
Right.
So the Bulls traded 2 second rounders to draft a guy who they probably won't be able to play. They need athletes. They need defense. They need shooting. But like, draft a 21-year-old and not a 19-year-old then, I would think. So that was weird to me. I also thought it was weird the Hawks going after Kobe Bufkin. I like the pick. I think he's a really good player. They got a lot of guards there right now with Trey and DeJounte, Bogdan Bogdanovic, and AJ Griffin. Like, somebody's going to be leaving.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to have all five of those going forward.
Absolutely. There was a trade stall last night. That a lot of teams just got stuck in neutral. So the Hawks are moving somebody for sure. They have to with the way they are paying everybody. We were talking about Clint Capella potentially go to the Mavs. Anyways, there's going to be some more trades. So that'll happen over the next couple weeks as the free agency starts to happen. So there's that. This is a bit of a downer note, but on the Bulls side of things, there's just a couple notes that kind of went under the radar just because there's so much happening on draft day. But Lonzo Ball is going to miss all of next season, which we kind of knew, but they announced that for knee rehab, just done for next season. And Kawhi Leonard, surprising with the Clippers, he had his cleanup procedure a few weeks ago. We didn't know that for the meniscus in his right knee. 8-week recovery. Are they announcing that just to let people know, hey, you can come get him. Come get him. You know, he's not in sort of this purgatory. Something's happening with him. It was just a cleanup. But anyway, those kind of just went under the radar yesterday.
Yeah, for sure. Well, something that got us started yesterday, the Golden State Warriors agreed upon a trade with the Wizards to acquire Chris Paul for Jordan Poole. The Warriors also got a second top 20 protected first round pick in 2030. Why did I say a second top 20 protected first round pick? I'm not sure. But a 2030 first round pick and a second rounder in 2027 and a man by the name of Ryan Rollins. And we did check. He is a real person. Sort of a cool looking kid. Anyway, that's going to Washington. We did an emergency podcast on this already. So you can go check that out if you want. It's up in your No Dunks feed on YouTube and wherever you download and listen to us if you want to hear us do 25 minutes on it. But any other thoughts now you've had a day to think about it?
John Hollinger wrote up something really interesting, kind of breaking down all of the trades from this week before the draft and why they've actually happened and how it's all about contracts. And once you read that after subscribing at theathletic.com/nodunks for $1 a month by the end of the month for the rest of the year, great, great deal, you realize this is just a salary dump for the Golden State Warriors, getting off the Jordan Poole contract for a variety of reasons. Didn't have a great season his first year under the big contract. Obviously had problems in the locker room between him and Draymond, with Kerr and Draymond coming out and saying the punch preseason derailed our entire year. At this point in Steph Curry's career, they don't have years to waste, and they kind of just wasted one. So I think a smart move by them to get off the Poole contract and bring in somebody in Chris Paul, who they're going to have to figure out how to play alongside with, and he's going to have to figure out a reason or how to fit in, especially if he is running the second unit. The second unit is all young guys at this point, guys who are going to want to run and jump and try and make plays in transition, which, as we've said, is not necessarily what Chris Paul wants to do. So there'll be something interesting to figure out there. But really, it's just the Warriors figuring out a way to stay lean going forward and figuring out a way to continue to bring in new players who are going to help, who are farther along in their careers and just a little bit more grown up.
Yeah, definitely stay lean. They can really retool after one season of Chris Paul because his money's not guaranteed after that. This could be short. Klay Thompson, money's not guaranteed after that. It is going to be weird to see Chris Paul in Golden State uniform. It's going to be weird, I do believe, to see him coming off the bench for the first time in his career. I imagine that's where he'll start because they want to preserve him for the playoffs, because they do want him to be that extra point guard that they've sort of lacked with Andre Iguodala gone, that type of thing. But yeah, he's a handle the ball and I'm going to run the show type of guy. So that's why it feels like a strange fit around Steph, who's Steph. But I guess they just want the young guys in Kuminga and Moody to grow up real fast, and Chris Paul should get them ready for playoff minutes, which you know, they've won for guys before. Like, they got a title for David West way back, and I guess they're going to be trying to do the same thing. The Poole thing is a strange thing because they believed in him 4 years, that big money, and now he's going to have 4 years in Washington. I think it's a great flyer for them just to give it a shot. Why the heck not? And they got to pay somebody.
And they got a pick out of it too. And way down the line, it's top 20 protected and all that, but it is still a first round pick, and that's why it had to be included for the Wizards, or excuse me, for the Warriors to like get off, so to speak, of this Jordan Poole contract, which, you know, it's going to get expensive for a player like him. He's basically going up to the $29 million range, and then it just keeps going up, up, up into the 30s. He's going to have a hell of an opportunity to score here in Washington. He's going to probably put up some crazy games. Like, will Jordan Poole have a 50-point game next season?
Yes.
Yeah, Can we bet on that? I'd like to put some money on that, because that feels like something that's going to happen.
30-plus attempts.
Right.
Shots are there.
So, yeah, that's definitely why this deal went down. But, again, you can go check out the Emergency Podcast if you want.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Let's start wrapping this bad boy up, though, with some rapid-fire fun. We're going to bring JD in. He's got the questions as Esh continues to run the show. JD, what do you got?
Yeah, guys. There was a story making the rounds this week about a guy who has never played basketball in his life, and he entered this year's NBA draft. The lifelong Miami Heat fan had the patience to read through complicated legal documents and fill out a bunch of paperwork, and bingo bango, he's in the draft. What's something you want to take part in that you have no business taking part in, Skeets?
I would like to be a judge at the 2024 Paris Olympics for the new sport of breakdancing.
Ah, is that real?
Yes, this is absolutely real. This is going to be a real event.
Breakdancing.
Breakdancing 2024 in Paris, right around the corner. And I have no business being a judge, taking part in it. Though, every couple of months, I fall down a weird Instagram rabbit hole where I just watch a bunch of breakdancing videos. And I know what I like, and I know what I think's cool. Why couldn't I judge it? So there you go.
What could even be the requirements?
I think it's, I believe it's, like, teams. So I'm sure a lot of, like, choreography. It's, like, really, when you think about it, like, we have synchronized swimming.
True.
Yeah,
pretty damn similar. Just remove the water.
Yeah. Remove the water.
Move the water and do actually way cooler things. I don't want to upset synchronized swimming fans. It's not for me. I'm sure it's very difficult. I couldn't do it. I know they're like freak athletes, like to hold your breath like that and spin around. But anyway, it's similar to breakdancing, I guess, is what I'm getting at. Why not?
Sure.
I wonder if there'll be any crossover, like Sean White was great at snowboarding and skateboarding.
Yeah.
You got to be able to have arm strength for synchronized swimming and for breakdancing. When you do that move, when you catch yourself on your arms, your whole body's
up. Oh, yeah.
Sick move. That's a 10.
I see some gymnasts being able to do that, throw that ribbon around.
Yeah.
You know, while you breakdance.
Yeah, of course.
Well, there you go. Yeah. This is going to be big. I think people are going to love this. Seriously.
I'm in. I just heard about it right now.
These men and women can do is nuts.
Yeah.
So this, I'm calling it now. So people are going to be talking about breakdancing in the 2024.
So what do you think is cool?
What do you mean?
When it comes to a breakdancer, because you say you know what.
Well, I mean, definitely some of the guys, like their upper body strength. It's like, how are they holding themselves like on one finger, like their body upside down? Like, how are they doing that? You know, any sort of slide across the floor I think is cool, especially on a head.
Oh, yeah.
How does that not kill your head?
Oh, on a head, yeah.
God, you've seen that, right?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
That's cool.
Shouldn't be able to go that far.
Can you, like, pop and or lock while you're breakdancing? Like, are things not allowed?
I don't know.
Crunk breakdancing?
Get that crunk out of here.
I'm not sure. I can't
Yeah, that's what
that.
I don't know. I got to see the rules, the breakdown of the rules.
Yeah. You got to assume there's going to be a lot of, like, as a team breakdancing, like, are they in sync? You know, what crazy flips are they doing together? Because I'm sure you can botch some of this stuff.
Yeah.
I believe that's how they're going to be graded. I'm talking out of my ass right now. I have no clue.
We're all like, yeah, you're right.
You're nodding at me like, all right.
Sounds right.
Cool.
Sounds
good.
Well, I guess I could be a judge.
I think you're as qualified as anybody.
Yes. Professional breakdancers have nothing on me. Breaking.
That's a sport.
Yeah. That's amazing. All right. Who's next? Tass?
Yeah. Sticking with sports. I want to do the 100-meter sprint. Now, it doesn't have to be the Olympics. Just give me some sort of competition, you know, like a world championships or something. Because it feels really, really, really fast when I'm running. For me.
Right.
And it feels like I'm there in 10 seconds, like everybody else.
I did it recently, I guess it was last year, where I raced against dinosaurs, this exhibit where it showed you how fast dinosaurs can run.
Okay.
It was an extremely fast 2 seconds, I thought. But the videos appeared very slow. But anyway, it's the most exhilarating feeling of sprinting for 10 to 45 seconds. I just want to do it. Put me
Sounds
in a competition.
Sounds like you want to have a street race with old Skeets. <That's dope. laughs> We can make that happen.
Sure.
But people have said before, and it's a great idea, in every Olympic event, there should be a guy like Tass Mellis. There should just be a normal dude just to really put it in perspective of how fast, strong, how athletic these men and women are. I think it's a great idea. Like, there should be an extra lane in the 100-meter sprint just for you.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise. Put Tom Cruise in there with his chop.
Perfect guy.
His chop.
And then, like, 1 year, somehow, like, that average Joe Blow would win.
Makes it.
Yeah, it'd be a miracle somehow. Ooh. Like, all the other sprinters trip and fall.
Yeah, it's like that Australian skater.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Speed skater.
Stephen Bradbury.
That's right.
Great idea. A break dancer beside the good break dancers.
Yeah, me. Brody. We'll put Brody in. Our buddy Brody sucks at it. But he sort of can do things, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
He knows what the moves
are. Yeah, sort
of. He does a bit of moonwalk, a robot.
Yeah.
And then that's it, yeah. Trey.
TSA clear and TSA pre-check. I would love to have them. I know I could pull it off. I could meet the requirements.
Yeah.
But the only time I ever think about it is when I'm at the airport and I'm like, oh man, I should have done pre-check. Just waiting there in line. Well, too late now. That's how they get you, man. You're only supposed to do it at the airport. Who's trying to be at the airport earlier? No one.
Yeah.
But that's why you need to get it, so you don't have to show up early. It's tough.
They plucked me out of the line last time. Clear did. They're like, you want to try a free 2-week trial?
Yeah.
It was when we were on our way.
Claire's marketing hardcore right now.
I was like, hell yeah. And I got through really quick, and then I used it coming back, and they charged me, so I got it. I've got clear now.
What, is it a monthly fee? Or
no, it's a yearly fee.
How much?
I think it was $200 or something. For the year, and I think you can put your family on it too.
What's the one?
Pre-check's way cheaper.
Yeah.
It's like $75.
What's the one to just go to Canada? Is that Nexus?
Nexus.
I'm on the waiting list for that one right now, eventually get it.
How long does it take?
Oh, so the pre-check, I think pre-check's the way to go.
Okay.
Clear's good. I like getting my eyes scanned. That's fun.
Yeah.
You have all these then?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Not all. You don't fly that much.
No. Well, no, I got signed up for a family one for Clear.
Okay.
But I did the pre-check.
Yeah.
Pre-check's sick. You just have one day you just got to go to an Office Depot or Staples or something. Do a little interview, and then you're set for life.
Staples guy?
Yeah, the Staples. They have like an employee. It's like going to a Whole Foods where there's an Amazon thing.
There's a
TSA pre-person in a Staples.
Amazing.
Yeah, $75. Get to go to that line. Keep the shoes on.
Oh, man.
Keep the shoes on for $75.
That's huge. That's nice. Worth $75 right
Very
there.
Very nice.
That is worth it.
I would almost pay $75 per trip to keep my shoes on. I wouldn't at all. Okay, next one.
That's nice stuff. All
right. Victor Wembanyama is the coolest guy to enter the draft in a long, long time. One of the coolest or weirdest things about him is that he's very good buddies with Michael Douglas, the 78-year-old movie star. Guys, who's an unlikely celebrity you'd like to be friends with? Skeets.
Dame Helen Mirren.
Yeah, same.
Queenie.
Her most famous role.
I don't really have anything more to add to it. I just thought that would be an unlikely celebrity
That's all you need. Yeah.
But she'd probably be a fun hang.
Seems like
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right.
Helen Mirren was in unlikely connection here, like Fast and the Furious or
That's
something?
That's right. It's
Queenie. Oh, that's why she was Queenie. Oh,
but she's also the queen.
Yeah.
I can see why that's confusing.
Well, yeah. Well, I make that connection because I'm forcing a rock relationship with myself.
Oh, okay.
Why the hell not? I need his action figure to complete my WWE action figures from when I was a child. I've got them all, basically, other than The Rock. So They're impossible to find, but if anyone has it, The Rock does. So, got to be friends with him.
Okay. That's not that unlikely, because you're a wrestling fan. We do a podcast of that.
No, I'm not. The Fast.
Aren't you?
No.
You have action figures.
Yeah.
He was.
I kept them.
Yeah.
Still.
I did not take the offer for $5 an action figure.
Wow.
Look at me now.
But you're talking about
those
ones. I still
have 30 pieces of junk in my house.
Those, like, hard plastic ones we've talked about before, but they didn't have a Rock.
I don't know.
Back in those, I don't think. He wasn't there.
I know. I'm forcing this answer. Okay. But, you know, they probably have the little stretchy ones.
Oh, yeah.
Stretch Rock Armstrong or whatever. Or he can stretch his arms.
I used to have the ones I played with in the tub all the time.
Thumb holes?
The thumb hole ones,
I got a couple of those.
I had a Junkyard Dog.
I have him.
Look at this guy.
Yeah, I'm not a wrestling fan.
I have him.
Who else?
Mine are filled with water because I use them in the bath.
Was there an Iron Sheik? Rest in peace? I think there was. Know. Yeah, anyway.
Well, crazy. Anyway. All right, Trey.
It was my dream in high school to invite Tom Green to my graduation party. You know, like, dream big, buddy. Invite all your friends. You send the invitations, but I don't know, maybe you order 100 invitations so you got 90 left over because you don't have that many friends. So maybe you think, I'll mail one to this guy on TV. He'll show up with a box of Undercutter's pizza. How cool would that be, though? Just like... Like, that's the one thing I ever wanted was for a random celebrity to show up at my graduation party. Like, Tom Green walks up and be like, you guys are friends? Yeah. We go way back. Since the planking days.
You guys could be friends.
Yeah, that one I feel like is the most realistic.
We could make that happen.
Yeah, he's not at the peak of his powers right now. Yeah. I see a lot of clips of him just hanging out on a farm. I just got to find that farm. wonder if he fishes. You guys could go fishing together. That's a great question. I haven't seen any fishing clips, but he's got a dog. Oh, nice. Tom's got to have a dog.
Find that farm. Make it happen. Farm. Sounds like a show. Finding Tom's farm.
Does sound like a show.
Six-part documentary on Netflix. Trey just searching for Tom Green.
Driving through the Canadian Midwest.
Oh, he's in Canada.
Maybe he's probably.
You think he has
he's Ottawa guy.
Just Nexus.
Okay, finally, last one, guys.
Yeah.
This is a weird one.
Okay.
I need some fashion advice. I really want to buy these pants. Put it up, Ash. Yeah, I've had my eyes on these pants for a very long time. Ads keep popping up in my Instagram feed. For the podcast listener, let me describe them to you. They're described as loose, large pocket cargo paratrooper pants. The color, army green, of course. They have a kind of distressed look. Mm-hmm. To be honest, they look used. I can't explain why I like them. Probably because I had a pair of these back in 1989 when I was 18 years old. Anyway, I'm just looking for your honest opinion. Skeets, should I buy these pants?
Yes, you absolutely should buy these pants. This is the weirdest rapid fire question we've ever had. But you should. I could see those on you.
Yeah,
in fact, in seeing that photo, I thought for a second, is that you wearing them?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you very much.
I don't know how your feet are looking, but I feel like you could pull off those Vans, the slip-ons there. So, yeah, you should buy these and wear these. And yes.
Okay.
Two thumbs up.
All right. That's one.
I totally thought that Trey wrote this question. I forgot who wrote the questions, and I thought Trey was getting an opinion on his pants. So I should probably just pass this off to Trey. But I the distress part of it...
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong
with
that?
That's out.
Don't worry. If it's out now, it'll
be back. It'll come back.
Yeah, give it time.
Years from now. But I was wearing distressed jeans, my wife said to me.
Oh, come on. What
put those away for 15 years from now.
You better clean up.
But they feel so good because I've been wearing them so long and they're so distressed.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So you're voting no.
I'm voting no, but come on. YOLO.
I never go anywhere. You guys are the only people who will see it. See them.
Oh, I'd love
to
see
them. We barely see it.
Yeah, exactly.
You now, you know, behind the desk.
Exactly. Okay, Trey, really, I'm very interested in your opinion.
I think you have to get them.
Okay.
Because how exciting will we be as the only people who see your pants to walk into the factory one day and you're wearing them? We're like, he did it! He did it! But actually, I feel like you... I feel like you have similar pants.
Yeah, I've had over the years, but not like big paratrooper pants like that. Like, I used to shop exclusively at like army surplus stores, and but I definitely had a pair of those before. So they're just making me think of my youth, I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't want to, like, I'm a 52-year-old man, like, walking around with, like I showed them to Jackson. He's like, those are fire. And I'm like, okay, well, you're 15. Am I going to look ridiculous? Like, am I, like, just getting a fedora as well, you know? Like, am I...
Brian's hat? You want some safari flats?
Safari flats.
Fedora?
Well, Ash, you got an opinion on... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, 84% of people right now say yes.
Oh, okay.
To pants.
I think they say yes. I think they suit you, for sure.
All right.
I mean, how much are they?
They're not that much, like $60.
Oh, yeah. Get those pants.
Okay. Ash, you got an opinion?
Just go ahead and get them.
Okay.
I like them a lot. 100%.
Well, okay.
They're really nice.
Well, that's great news because I already bought them.
Oh, yeah. Sweet. Well, are you going to wear that green Is This Good shirt with those green pants? Or is
Hell
that a little
yeah.
too much?
Okay. Well, usually that I do, I don't like to do top and bottoms the same color. But yeah. I think I might in this case.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll see. We'll see how green they actually are.
They're different greens, but okay. Yeah. Might be too much. We'll see. That's it for Rapid Fire. That's it for a Drop Podcast. Hopefully another classic. You tell us. Leave your boys a 5-star rating and review if you download and listen to the podcast, and thank you for that. If you're joining us on YouTube, either live or later, hit that like button. Make sure you subscribe. And anything else? I guess we're just back on Monday?
Not me.
Oh, where are you going?
Yeah. Flying to Chicago, so I got to get going to get in line for pre-check. Now I feel like JD. Now I gotta do it. I gotta go get clear appreciation.
Yeah, you do. You're not gonna regret it once you have it.
Well, good call, because I might miss my flight today because I'm gonna have to wait in line.
Oh, jeez. Well, let's wrap this up. Clipper Bros!
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and remember, Trey's got a pre-check interview. I just booked one for you. It only takes 10 minutes. Just go do that, then go to the airport. That's the balance. Do the calculation. If you go do the interview and then go to the airport, are you saving time by getting pre-check approved?
It's quite possible.
It's quite possible.
It's quite possible.
This guy, wants to go to the airport to have a burger or pizza.
I don't have enough time. That's the problem. I got to get through to get my, my snacks.
Are you leaving your car at the airport?
Uber mode, I'm
sure.
I don't know. Parking's nice at the airport these days.
I'm never an airport parker.
This guy pays for every airport service there is.
If the Atlanta parking, the Atlanta airport added a parking lot. Sorry, Trey, just one last story. Added a parking lot that's got, you know, the light indicators that the parking spot is open.
Yeah.
They added that.
I like that.
It's got to take that. Yeah. Love that. Whoa, there's a parking spot way down there. And it's right. It's not one of those.
But I heard a story that you told your wife to park at some other parking lot because it's a lot cheaper.
No, it's not cheaper. It's that one. It's that one that I'm talking about right now. ATL West, and then you get on a fancy train, hair's flowing.
But you're pretty far away from the airport. That's what I heard.
Everything is far from the airport. Everything is far from the airport. No, it's part of the airport. It's part of the airport.
Can you get Nexus for your car? Or clear or pre-check my car. All right, let's go. Embrace the weekend, people.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.